Woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, episode 62. Dedicate this one to the captain, Big Benny, my favorite offensive guard, number 62, Edina Hornets. I know he had a tough move to Colorado. Well, it's going to be okay. Tell those boys that, you know, they may not remember that LeBron James played for Cleveland because he's a Laker now. And things turn out okay when you move. Tell the boys that. Talk about turning out okay. You know when you made a good decision? It was Friday afternoon. The wife and I are trying to figure out if we should, you know, sit at home and stare at each other or go to the cabin and stare at each other. We're empty nesters. And made a late decision to go to cabin. You know, not packed. Get home from work at 4 something. By the way, if you just leave at 5:30, no traffic. I've known this before, but I forgot about it. Everybody leaves early to beat the traffic, so they're in the traffic. If you're just totally disorganized and have no plan and have an unpacked leather duffel bag at 4:45, guess what? No traffic. Even in Rogers. Hey, if you're from Minnesota, let's talk a little bit about Rogers and the bottleneck of Rogers. Do you think like girls from Rogers that meet dudes in college, the guys are like, oh, fuck, Rogers. Rogers. All I can think of is being, you know, hot and looking out the window and being in gridlock. I bet they get no action at all if you're a guy or a young woman from Rogers, Minnesota. We stopped at the McDonald's again. We're getting into this little groove. We went all the way up to Sauk Center McDonald's. You know, just, hey, one cheeseburger, one hamburger, two small fries, a Coke, half Diet Coke. They don't like that. McDonald's doesn't like that. Burger King is we do it your way. McDonald's was like, what the hell? What do you mean a half Coke, half Diet? Yeah, make it for me. I'm the customer. So we did that, got up here last night, heard some stories about Starbucks. I asked Stacy's mom and Cleet. I said, you know, have there been other bars in Starbucks in the past? And they said, yeah, the Palace. Yeah, the Palace was a bar. But it turns out the Palace was supposed to be called Al's Place. And when they painted the sign, they spelled it wrong. So it said Al's Palace. And that then became the Palace up here. But the moment I knew I made the right decision, two moments. I went to the bakery this morning to get what are called dollar buns. They're these little tiny buns for boat snacks. My wife is going to go to the meat locker in Glenwood because Glenwood has better dried beef than Starbucks. No offense. These are the things you learn at the cabin. But I went to the bakery, and I'm walking into the bakery, and both of the bakery, the bakers, both of the women bakers are sitting on the, there's a bench out front of this old bakery, and they're both ripping heaters. They're both smoking. They both have aprons on. A little bit of facial hair, maybe. And I said, I'm kind of shocked because they're both outside pulling darts, and I said, are you guys open? Yeah, absolutely. So the one lady jumps up, sells me 24 dollar rolls. And I'm thinking to myself, God, she probably just wasted a whole cigarette. And I come back outside and I see her friend smoking her cigarette, the one baker, and holding the other baker's cigarette, waiting for her to come back to the bench. I wanted to take a picture of it, but I dropped my phone in my car. Plus, it's kind of weird to take pictures of people. But it was, I would have bought it if I was at the State Fair Fine Arts Building, and there was a photograph of those two baker ladies on the bench smoking cigarettes. I would have that in my home. that was a moment I knew I made the right decision, and I went on another country run. The corn is getting taller, and I noticed that the sign for Starbuck, Minnesota says, Starbuck welcomes you. It does not say welcome to Starbuck. That is when you're on your own terms and you're the ones doing the planning and making the moves and driving. No, this says Starbuck welcomes you. We are now in the domain of Starbuck. We are not just passing through another city. Some other little cabin moments. It's only Saturday morning, so I just got here. I haven't even been on the boat. Going to go fishing. My goal is shore lunch. I'm going to try to catch some panfish. I literally only fish because I like to eat fish. So if I don't catch said fish, I don't get to eat them. And I can't find the sunnies right now, but I will try. But I have heard John Cougar on the front porch. I think Hurt So Good. I heard a Glen Campbell song in my car, something about painting the lines on the highway. There was a song at Tom's Food grocery store about heaven and earth colliding. I'm going to put at the end of this episode, kind of an 80s rock sort of situation. I woke up this morning, I really had to go to the bathroom number two, bad. And you know the thing with number two is if you don't hit it right when you need to go, you miss it. You know, it's like a train coming, a subway. You know, if you miss it, you're waiting another 8 minutes or maybe 2 hours. So I really had to go, and there's a bathroom right upstairs here, but I wanted to use the outhouse. So I kind of pinched it down, and I got out there, and it was awesome. The outhouse is the chilled salad plate of going to the bathroom. That's what the outhouse is. So I got to use that already. I want to talk about another good decision I've made, which is Jay Hilburn. So I got my clothes. I want people to understand what this is. It's custom clothing. So a woman comes to your house named Andy, and she basically measures you like you're going to be in a video game. You know, you see those athletes with all the dots on them, and then they create their character in the video game. She doesn't put dots on you, but she takes a bunch of measurements, and then you have clothes that fit you perfectly. Now, you're probably saying, well, how expensive is that? Okay, I spent about $600. I got four or five items, and they are literally in my top 10 clothing items right now. I look forward to wearing them. I'm actually nervous about them. I don't throw them down the clothes chute. We have a clothes chute, by the way. If you don't know what that is, send a question and ask what a clothes chute is. But I don't drop them down because I don't want my son to throw a wet towel on top of them and they get damaged. I don't dry them because you can do all this. I'm not trying to make this clothing sound high maintenance. I'm trying to prove to you how excited I am about these outfits. I wore white shorts, got some new white shorts from Jay Hilburn and a new dress shirt. I wore it to dinner with my parents in Wayzata on Sunday. Thanks for dinner, Mom and Dad. We ate at the Landing Hotel in Wayzata. A little trip to the west side. Pretty different out there, I must say. And then, because I had only worn it for a few hours, yep, wore it to work on Monday. Don't judge me. My parents don't work in my office. They didn't see. So got a huge compliment sitting in my office. The landlord, kind of a clothes horse himself, he sees me sitting in my office. He just says, Kinger, what's going on? What do we got going here? Jeez. I said, well, as a matter of fact, I got a personal stylist. Her name is Andy. You can reach her at andy.galvin@jhilburnpartner.com. I didn't actually say that part to him. I just did that for the podcast. But basically, I told my dad about it on Sunday, and he was like, you know what? All I got is golf shirts. That's all I really have that's dressy. I got like funeral suits and golf shirts. And if that's your wardrobe, that sucks. So you need to reach out to Jay Hilburn. Why don't we make an event out of the Crosby Street store opening on June 22nd? They're going to be at the Crosby Hotel which is not on Crosby Street. It's on Main Street. There is a Crosby Hotel on Crosby Street in New York. I don't know if Jay Hilburn has plans to expand there. But come on down June 22nd. I'll be there. Well, you can meet Andy. You can figure out what this whole thing's all about. Check it out. I'm also going to post her homemade catalogs on my Instagram. They don't look like they used to with the cool bearded dudes. It looks more like the guy from Bridgerton if he shaved his head. But your wife will like that. So, you know, if you want one of those catalogs, just comment. Just put a message in the comments, and we'll save one for you. Couldn't be happier with Jay Hilburn. Going to buy some more stuff. Next item, short sleeve, something red. Andy told me red is my color. Played bingo this week at the White Bear Bar. Yeah, that's right. We went to the Bermuda Triangle and played some bingo. It wasn't as good as the Legion. And, you know, we're at a certain age now where my wife spent a lot of time saying kind of loud, "I like the Legion better. The Legion's better. It's, they call the numbers here too fast." So I'm sure they loved us at the White Bear Bar. At one point, my wife said this sentence, "I have a really wet dauber." She said, "I have a really wet dauber." As a matter of fact, her dauber, the bingo dauber, was so wet that someone got her a replacement dauber. That all happened. Those are great sentences to say. Someone retrieved her a replacement dauber. We did not win a single game. It was a hurried count, a lot of complicated bingo games, and they sell cards while you're playing. How's that? So you're trying to keep track of the numbers, and somebody's asking you if you want two cards or four cards over your shoulder, and it was intense. It was like chewing gum and walking at the same time. I would recommend maybe just doing one card each at the White Bear Bar, not two cards. A great line my wife said, she said she didn't like playing bingo at the White Bear Bar because she said, "I've had so many bad experiences here, it doesn't feel lucky." That's a fair point, I had a moment this week. You know how the new screens on the digital stuff, they're always telling you if you want to round up your change, you know, to some charity? And I was like, it was like 20 cents, and I just quickly hit no without thinking, and it made me feel surprisingly bad, like worse than 20 cents bad. So sorry about that. Maybe I'll get another run at it this week. The kind of a closed debate. One of the things I've been struggling with is I try to transition from this window pane marketing guy, sport coat, double guns, to Black T-Shirt Society of the makers. I don't know if I should be tucking in my shirt or untucking in my shirt. And what I mean by that is if I'm wearing like a golf shirt or a short sleeve shirt, I feel like it should be untucked because that's kind of my personality and kind of how I want to be living my life these days. But I don't know, maybe that's frumpy, maybe it doesn't look good. So I did a little bit of I asked some questions to some women, because generally guys, you want the women to think you look good, not your buddies. And this is the rule that I was told. If your shirt kind of looks like a tube, if it's not tight, if it looks a little blousy, you're going to want to tuck it in. And generally the women say buy clothes that are a little tighter. They said they wanted to ruching. I don't really know what that is. I think it's like a dress that's bunched up. So they want some ruching. And the other thing they said is if your shirt goes past the part where your butt sticks out the most, or the bottom of your pockets of your shorts or pants, then you tuck. Now, my butt doesn't actually stick out, so I don't really know. But I don't know. I'd like to hear more from you guys. Are we tucking in? Are we not tucking in? To me, tucking in is like uptight. It's kind of like initialed shirts, you know, tying a sweater around your neck. Untucked, it's like really the only part of a country club I don't like is if I were to join a country club, I would like someone to call me Mister and to have exotic bootleg drinks on the golf course. I would not want to tuck in my shirt. And I certainly wouldn't want someone to come up to me and tell me to tuck in my shirt. So I don't know, tuck, untuck, hung jury. I did make one more trip. I went into the Minnesotan and finally did some shopping. I had a gift card there, and it's the start of the season. I reloaded, tried on a bunch of stuff. I picked up this maroon shirt, which is just unbelievable. I think it's the best shirt at the Minnesotan right now. It's a golf shirt with kind of a maroon. I don't even know what the pattern is, but this is actually the shirt where there was the tuck and untuck controversy. And then I picked up what I would call an Age of Aquarius shirt by Roosevelt. And it's just this crazy... It's like if your great-grandmother died, this is what the inside of her casket would be lined with. And I love it. I got a compliment on that shirt as well when I was at the Anchor Coffee Shop by some lady. But it's Father's Day coming up, June 20th. So that's going to be the next time you hear from me, it'll be Father's Day. I'm going to be out in Boston. And Corey's doing an awesome deal. Remember how he did the vineyard for the women? Well, he's doing Petey Pappies for the dudes. So you spend $100, dad gets $20 at Petey Pappies, a good time river bar in Stillwater, Minnesota. He's made some ads for this, but when I was in the Minnesotan yesterday, 2 days ago, he says, Daddy wants to go to the river. That's the line he said to me. And why in the hell that is not the line on every ad Corey makes for this thing, I don't know. Daddy wants to go to the river. So go spend $100, get him the Age of Aquarius, get him the rooster shirt, get him some sunglasses, get him some swimsuits, get him the Rocky Balboa swimsuit, get him a Foligno Moose t-shirt, get him a Game On Minnesota hat, get him a Sunday Morning Coming Down hat, and get $20 for Petey Pappies because daddy wants to go to the river. I think I'm just going to say that all the time for the Minnesotan, even after this promo ends. Another bingo-related thought, I mentioned this before, but I think it's funnier the more I do it. Whenever someone gets bingo, I just cover my mouth and go, "Damn it!" I do it more than once, too. "Damn it!" I don't know why I think that's so funny. I think it's because bingo's so social and everybody's yelling for all the numbers and, before and after, social. And then when someone wins, I'm just under my breath, just damn it, like I'm just in a rage because I didn't win. I don't know, that's how my sense of humor works. What do you think? What else do I got for you? It's been too hot for my grass to grow. Kind of excited about that. You didn't think about that, did you, when you were bitching about how hot it was? Well, guess what? The grass isn't growing. I can extend the length of time before I spend 3 hours in my yard, cutting grass and waiting for the bagger to jam and, turning off the motor, and it's just a circus. I did watch this fight on Sunday night. My son found a crack stream of a YouTube kid fighting Floyd Mayweather. And the only way I can describe this experience is the world is ending. I felt like it was a post-apocalyptic moment to be sitting in my basement watching a YouTube kid who's 0-1 as a boxer fight, I guess, the best pound-for-pound boxer of all time, who's going to make $100 million. And we're doing it on a crack stream that we didn't pay for because Showtime wouldn't work. And like, what in that? Where are we? Is this 2045? Is this Back to the Future 5? And I don't believe the plot because that's what it felt like. We have crows in our yard, and they have created air superiority. We have no squirrels in our yard anymore, which is weird for Riggins. I think he's happy. I don't know if he's working with the crows or if the crows will eventually eat him or at least one of his eyes. But it's weird. Like, we have no squirrels. And these crows, I'm not kidding you, they fly and they kill squirrels and they eat them and they, like, leave their carcass on the ground. And my dog goes out there and is, like, eating one hand of a squirrel. It's just nuts. There's not a single squirrel in our yard. They're pretty aggressive crows, too. Like, if I have my headset on going to the back track to run, I would not be shocked if one of these things went after me. I stopped. I was driving to work, and I stopped, and I walked into Keys Cafe, and I bought one of their lemon cookies. I guess that's part confession to my wife, but also just like if you live anywhere near White Bear Lake, go get a lemon cookie at Keys. They're delicious. Another thing that's delicious is Body Armor. Not a sponsor. None of these people are sponsors. I think Body Armor is really good. It might be better than Gatorade. It might be better than Powerade. It might be better than vitamin water. Low-calorie Body Armor? Awesome. I don't know if Barstool somehow injected that into my brain with the content I watch or what, but I have to say it's pretty good, this Body Armor stuff. A thought that I'm going to push consistently, I've concluded, and I noticed this when I'm at the cabin. So here at the cabin, my son's going to come up today. We'll go fishing. We'll be probably listening to a little John Mayer out on the boat if he lets me. Catching some fish, hopefully eating some fish, meat raffle tonight, go on another run in the morning, went on a run today, the corn's growing. Stop scrolling, start living. Put your phone down. God, is there anything that makes you feel worse? Scrolling on your phone on TikTok and Instagram is like human decay. Put it down. Go somewhere like Starbucks, which welcomes you. I bought a Jack Nicholson photograph at a silent auction, and the bottom of it, it's him blowing a smoke ring, smoking a cigar, and it says, "I am who I am. Your approval isn't needed." This is not at all how I live my life. I'm really worried about what everyone thinks of me, surprisingly, even though I do podcasts like this where I put it all out there. I want everyone to like me. I don't like it when someone doesn't like me. Even if I shouldn't care, it still bugs me. This is something I'm going to work on. I'm not trying to be a bigger asshole, but I think it's good to not worry so much what people think. So that's why I bought that picture. I hope to grow into it. Speaking of silent auctions, this is maybe one of my best things or maybe my worst things. My wife twice went to Stillwater trying to use her store credit for this horrible birthday gift I gave her. I gave her three gifts. Art and Soul, which is a store where I think you can exclusively buy dream catchers, crystals, and stuffed animals. These are not things my wife likes. A store called Minnesota Made, which sells essentially sweatpants, maybe with the state of Minnesota sewn in the butt. Also not a huge fan favorite of my wife. And there's a fashion store called Kensington, which sells belly shirts to 20-something girls. Also not age-appropriate for my wife. So three times she's come back down to Stillwater trying to return these gifts to no avail. So I said, why don't I do a silent auction at the office? So I put all three gift cards on a piece of paper, sign-up sheet, minimum bid, pen is out. I don't know if anyone's going to buy anything, but, I mean, this is what it's come down to. It's kind of a joke, but it seems like the joke's on me. People in the office have been pretty critical. They don't seem to like it. They think it's a money grab. They're embarrassed for me. Got to talk a little bit about Mickle Bobs. Lou's about to start year two with us, even though he doesn't know it, and we got big plans. I think Sweet Lou and myself are going to make a feature film. That's our plan. We've been talking about it for years. We wrote a script together many years ago. So I want to have a big year. That's why I went out on my own to start a company with my partner. So, you know, I can't thank Lou enough for his sponsorship. I got some ribs in the freezer up here. Last time I did this, I forgot to take pictures, so I'll get some pictures out on the podcast site. And I'll put it out there for you. You should call Lou, 612-360-4378. That's the only number I think I have memorized besides my wife's. He wants to spread the barbecue love. I heard there's some fans of ours in Chicago, Illinois, friends with Santa Claus. you know, the king of White Claw. You know who you are. They got hot tubs out there, Irish girls, a bunch of dudes listening in Chicago. Well, I know what Chicago people are like. Buy some damn ribs from Lou. Have a little get-together. Have a little Sunday afternoon party. Listen to the pod, eat some ribs, make some cornbread. That's what you do. That's spreading the barbecue love. That is Mickle Bob's, the Muhammad Ali of ribs. Hey, one shout out before I do the question. I listened to Sean Avery's podcast, and he did this thing this week. He's super excited about this TV show he's going to be on called Kevin Can Go Fuck Himself. And it sounds pretty interesting. It's got the girl from Schitt's Creek. They're using a single camera and a multi-camera in the same show, which is pretty trippy, to kind of push off sitcom feelings and then have regular feelings. I think it's going to be a big, big hit. But he did this thing. He said, hey, if you like my podcast, download AMC Plus. It costs like $5 a month. And then go on Twitter and say that you did that and tag me and blah, blah, blah. A lot of work, right? Well, I did it. And the reason I did it is I like his podcast. Every Wednesday, he makes me feel like I'm back in New York because he kicks me in the face. He's so angry. He's so pissed off. It's just nuts. And I love it. It's like, oh, God, you know, Sean just hit me in the face. You know, it must be Wednesday. And because I like it so much, I want to participate in my own way. So I did it. I took a picture of Xfinity when I bought this thing and I put it out there. So if you like this podcast and you're a lurker, I know there's a lot of you out there listening. Hey, follow Sunday Morning Coming Down Pod on Instagram. Post an episode on your social. Share the episode with one person. Buy some golf balls. I don't know. Call Lou. Call Andy. Email Andy. That's the stuff. You don't, you know, send me a question. Send me a podcast question to pulltabproductions@gmail.com. It feels good to participate. It feels good to not sit in the second row. Walk on stage briefly, even if it's just to hand me $5 for 3 golf balls. So that's my shout out. I just did it for something I enjoy. I'm asking you to do it for something you hopefully enjoy. All right, question. This one's coming from Cletus.
This is Cleet. John, do you miss going to New York every week?
Cletus, the fetus. Good question. People have asked me that a lot. Yes and no. I do not miss the commute. I do not miss waking up for a 6:30 Monday morning flight every week, coming home on 4:30 Friday, LaGuardia, Uber, sleeping on the plane. I had like specific pajamas that I could wear that looked like clothes that my wife bought me. Mondays were always kind of a wash because I would be so tired by the end of the night. So, you know, it's funny. Somebody asked me like, hey, have you been traveling a lot lately? And I said, you know, not really. A little bit for junior hockey stuff and our client Beach Juice, but not really. And it was good, you know. Starbucks welcomes you. It was good to like not be humping the airplane like a 1980s Japanese businessman. You know, there should have been smoke filling those airplanes. That's what my life felt like. But what I do miss is New York City. I think New York City is the greatest city in the world. I will go to the mat on that with anybody. And the main reason for that, if you think of our lives in the suburbs in Minnesota, it's a lot of wake up, get in car, sit somewhere, get in car, sit somewhere else, go to bed. Wake up, drive car, sit at office, drive car home, sit in basement watching wrestling documentaries, go to bed, wake up, get in car. New York is the opposite of that. I always would see 70-year-old women in New York and think, how in the hell do you live here? Like between the staircases I think the biggest compliment I can give New York is in New York, you're only concerned with keeping up with New York. So you don't have any time to worry about keeping up with the Joneses or your neighbors or gossip or, you know, small town, fifth grade bullshit. It's just New York. And if you don't get up every day and punch back, New York will own you. First couple years I moved there, for about a year, my eyes were red because of the, it was dirtier than I was used to in the country. I went to the eye doctor like 10 times, basically just figured out it was my eyes adjusting to the air quality. I saw multiple other people that I hired from more rural places go through the same thing where they had red eyes for about a year. But New York is just gritty. I also loved that I didn't, you know, when I first went to New York, I would see people and this happens all the time now. Imagine you see someone on the road and they're driving too slow and you pass them and Jesus, what the hell's wrong with that person? Or you see someone that looks menacing and you kind of walk around them, you give them a wide berth. When you live in New York, man, it's all in your face. I swear, if I saw somebody with a flamethrower and like two of those bullet straps on their chest like an X and the flamethrower was going, I would just walk by and maybe see, you know, how long the line is at Dunkin' Donuts behind them. You just could care less. It's almost like living in the internet. You know, like if I went up to you and was like, oh my God, have you seen there's a dog on a surfboard on the internet? You'd be like, okay, man, like there's a lot of stuff on the internet. Like, is this your first time on the internet? And that's kind of what New York is like. Like, you just don't care. A woman sits down and, you know, pulls her pants down and poops on the street. You're just like, well, I would better keep walking. I don't want to smell that, you know. I mean, so I love the anonymity. I love that New York is a common challenge for everyone. When everybody's just trying to keep up with New York, nobody worries about keeping up with each other. I do miss it. I want to be back. I want to go day drinking. I want to run the track. I want to take the one down to the bottom and walk all the way back up. Tavern on the Green, Chelsea, Soho, Little Prince. How you doing? I miss it. It's a great city, but I do not miss commuting. And I'll take country mouse for a little while here. I don't need a city mouse right now. Got to talk about Will Anderson. He's also at a cabin. What are the odds? And if you need an insurance guy that's going to make it as simple as reading a children's book, that's what Willie does for you. He gives you the right insurance. He gives you what he would get for himself, what he would get for his kids. Most importantly, he answers his phone when your hostas are blown up by hail and you're wondering if you have roof damage and you call him, boom, he's there. When you gotta shoot a commercial and you need to rent a $350,000 camera and you haven't thought about insurance till the day before, you call him, boom, he figures it out. That's Will Anderson. He's way cooler than a Enu, a Gecko, Flo, Jake from State Farm. Those people all suck. If there was a cage match, Will Anderson would smoke them. He's super strong, played college hockey. He has a lot of rental property, so he's always doing yard work. He would throw Jake from State Farm against the wall. He would step on the Gecko. The Enu would probably punch himself out. I don't know how we deal with Flo. I don't like, you know, violence against women. So maybe, like, they just shake hands or something. It's neutral. Maybe rock, paper, scissors. He beats her in that. Scrabble. I don't know. But Will Anderson's the best at insurance in the world. You should have him help you save some money. And I'm going to finish from a drinking standpoint. I have not binge drank in 10 days. That's pretty good. I talked about this before, but it came up. This is something we all got to do. You need to have an alter ego for when you're drinking. My alter ego is Josh, because you can't quite tell the difference from John, except he's a little bit sweatier, a little bit dumber, and he might steal a framed picture from behind the bar. We got my wife, Elmira Gulch, because she gets really mean, like the nasty lady in Wizard of Oz, and your little dog too. But the reason this comes up is a friend of ours said her alter ego, her drinking alter ego, was Nancy Pajamas, because she's the person that always falls asleep with a glass of wine. She's always like like trying to sneak away from the party and shut down. That's a great name. We did this with the kids last couple weekends ago. One kid's drinking name, his alter ego was Loki, which is a character from the Avengers that's kind of a troublemaker. We had Barbie, because the one gal gets pretty ditzy when she drinks. My son was the mayor, because when he's drinking, he wants to see everybody. He's got to shake every hand. He's got to kiss every baby. So I would encourage you to do this. It's pretty fun. And what you want to do is think about the traits of yours that are pronounced, that are either more positive, they can be more negative, they can be just different. We had one of my brothers is Lord Fletcher, because he gets kind of richer. You know, his collar pops up. He might offend someone without knowing someone. Another brother had a couple. Melvis Presto was an outstanding alter ego that used to involve an Elvis suit. I don't think we have that Elvis suit anymore. I think he was also Mick at some point. He got way more Irish and way more confrontational with Uber drivers. So that's just a great exercise, people. If you're out there, you know, check it out. Alter ego. Name your alter ego. It'll help you be a better drinker. And stop scrolling. Start living. Here's a bit of 80s rock that I heard in the grocery store in Starbucks. Get it.